something does have to change. I mean, we can write out a list, but how do we stick to that list? And I don't know what your lists are. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, but I would say the important thing to do is to understand how do we do it. You know what I mean? Remember when I was a box boy, and you know what? To be promoted was a big deal because it was a big difference in pay. And so I remember one time one of the night crew guys called in sick, and I was working the late shift as a box person. And so the night crew guy in charge, he said, "Hey, well, you know what? We need somebody. Will you stick around and help?" I was like, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, well, you know, do you know how to make an end display?" And I didn't know how to make an end display, but I didn't want to tell him no. You know what I mean? So I figured it can't be that complicated. I was like, "Oh yeah, man, yeah." And he said, "Okay, so here, you know what?" Gave me the you know what, 12 boxes of paper towels, and I'm supposed to, you know, make this end display. And I don't have a clue what I'm doing, but I told him I did. So then he walks away. You know what? He comes back 15 minutes, and in 15 minutes, it was like, you know what I mean? I was taking the paper towels out of the boxes and just stacking them up, which that's not how you build a display. You know what I mean? And he looked at me like, "Oh my, you don't know how to build a display, do you?" And I was like, "Oh, I guess I don't." See, I just needed to be shown how to do it. Hello? And for many of you in this room today, you want to make a resolution. You want to be able to stick to that resolution. There are some things in your life that you want to change. But the problem is, simply making a resolution isn't doing it. It's not enough. And let me tell you this. Listen to me very carefully. I am not of the mindset that we don't need to look at our life, analyze our life, and make changes in our life. I'll give you a chance to say amen, okay? I am not of the mindset that we don't need to look at our life, analyze our life, and change our life. Amen. You know, this mentality of, well, it is what it is, and you know what, that's just how I'm going to be, and you know what, I'm too old to change, or I'm, you know what, can't do it, or whatever. No, that's not the mentality that Christians need to have. The Bible says we're going from faith to faith to glory and glory. You know, I thank God for Pastor Bradford, who challenged me and encouraged me and challenged me, and he was tough, but his toughness allowed me to be the person that I was. He called us to do greater things. There was this mentality, you know what, that, hey, you're there, but you're supposed, but you can be in another place. And I want to make sure that we understand that. I won't take a long time, but what if, how many would like 2017 to be a great year for you? How many would like it? How many have some things? I'm just asking. How many have some things in your life that you would like to change? Raise your hand if that's you. I think everybody's hand went up. All of us do. And think about this for a minute. What if? I mean, really, how much time do you have left anyway? Pastor, what do you say? Do you say? See, Pastor, what do you like doing better? Weddings or funerals? Oh, that's easy. Funerals. Wow. Pastor, you don't like doing weddings? I didn't say I didn't like doing weddings. I said I like funerals way better. Funerals are awesome because you're able to talk to people about reality. I mean, we're all dying. I just want you to think for a minute before we get started. What if, I'm just asking, what if you knew What if you knew that starting today, you had 365 days left to live? See, you think you'd live differently? I think you would. See, we have this mentality of, well, I'll No. You said, well, Pastor, we couldn't get very much done in 2000. I mean, if I only had 1 year left, you know what I mean? I couldn't really accomplish very much. Are you kidding me? Did you see how much we accomplished in 2016? No, let me tell you what. You can accomplish a lot in 1 year. But again, let me talk to you about some practical ways. Look at your neighbor and say, practical ways. Okay. This isn't my first point, but this is a point that I want to make. Please write it down. Write it down. You want to start to really make a resolution? Well, write those resolutions down. I don't know the statistics, but they are staggering of decisions and goals that you write down are so much more high to be obtained than those that you don't write down. It's a part of a resolution. When you're writing it down, it becomes more concrete, more your resolve becomes better if you simply write it down. So it's not my first point, but it is a point, and a very important point. Make a decision today to write down what you want to change in your life. But how are we going to do it? Sure, Pastor, I wrote it down last year. I know. That's what I'm talking about. We've got to change some things, and I want to give you a practical way that you can have a resolution, and by February, you're still on it. By March, you're still on it. By July, you're like, wow, this is the best I've ever been able to do. And I want to give you some hints today. Number one, please, if you're going to stick with your resolutions, you have got to do this. You must get rid of a victim mentality. Oh, let's say that together. You must get rid of a victim mentality. Everybody say it, and let's emphasize you must. Ready? You must get rid of a victim mentality. What's a victim mentality? A victim mentality is, listen, let me tell you why my life is messed up. My life is messed up because of this, because of that, because of my parents, because of my upbringing, because of my financial situation, because I'm not tall enough. I'm too fat, I'm too old, I'm too ugly, my ears stick out too much. You know what? My parents spanked me. My parents didn't spank me. You know what I mean? I have orange hair. I have freckles. My nose is too big. I'm not smart enough. I'm too smart. I'm not pretty enough. I'm too pretty. Hello? I mean, on and on and on and on. If I just would have, you know what? But now because of this, listen. Much of the mess you're in is because of choices that you've made. Okay, I'm going to give you another chance to say amen. Much of the mess that you've made is because of choices that you have made. Amen. But some of the mess that you're in has nothing to do with you. And you've taken that and you've become a victim. Well, listen, you can become a victim or you can become victorious. But you can't do both. You can't do both. There are decisions that you didn't make, but that were made upon you. There were situations things that were done to you that you had no control of. But listen to me. You have control of how you react to those situations. And how you react to those situations are absolutely critical in you moving forward in your life. And there's so many people, so many Christians who have resolved, you know what, to become victims. It feels better. Actually, can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with somebody? Can I be really honest with somebody? Thank you. It is the lazy way. That's what it's about. Because it takes toughness. It takes courage to, when you have been a victim, to say, I'm not going to live there. This wasn't my fault. But I'm going to move forward in my life. And I am telling you, if you don't get over that victim mentality, that is one of the, something has got to change. And so you could even, let's relate it to your resolutions. You look at that those resolutions and you say, well, let me tell you what. Listen, let me explain to you what a victim, how a victim will relate to their resolutions that they have not obtained. They'll say stuff like this. Well, I would have been able to do it, except this happened. And I'm not saying the thises aren't happening. I'm saying if you continue to go there, because how many know life happens? You notice people who are changing their lives, people who are getting better every single year. Listen, look at their life. Their life is full of challenges, just like your life is so full of challenges. But they've made a decision that the challenges that are made are not the things that are going to happen to me that are out of my control. I am not going to allow those. Is somebody hearing me? I'm not going to allow those to stop me. See, it's a victim mentality. Like life doesn't work that way. Like there's things aren't going to come. You look at people who are victorious. You will see all kinds of challenges before them. They've just figured out a way how to do it. I never forget. It was so helpful. Matter of fact, John Bevere emailed, we're part of his email family, and he emailed my wife this conference to go to. And I have a lot of conferences that pastors can go to, but I try to be very selective. And I believe the Holy Spirit said, you know, Drew, you need to go to this conference. And I went to this conference, and I'll never forget this. There was about 40 people in a room this size. And they had us all up against this one wall. And they said, here's what you're going to do. It was an exercise to teach us something. And they said, here's what you're going to do. You need to go from this wall to that wall. And you can't run, and you can't skip, and you can't walk. And you can't run, and you can't skip, and you can't walk. Who wants to go first? And sure enough, somebody went first, and he did somersaults across the room. You know what? And then somebody skipped across the room. And then, what? I said you can't skip. And then somebody hopped across the room. You know what? And then, and all this stuff. And I'm sitting back there thinking, oh man, I was going to hop. You know what I mean? I should have gone first. And that's what I was thinking. And as I'm thinking, that's absolutely what I thought. I should have gone first. And then as I'm thinking, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to think of another one. And then somebody's going, and they just took my third one. And then, and I'm, can I tell you what? Listen to this story. everyone, including me, went from this side to that side. Everyone. And watch this. So we're finally over there, and I think I was the last one, and I forget what I did, but I thought, thank God, I don't even know how I came up with that, but I got across the room, everybody's over this side, and everybody, I know I was thinking, I don't know what they were thinking, I was thinking, there is no more options. I mean, we have exhausted the options. And then the guy said this. He said, okay, now we're all going to come back. And you can't do any of the things that were done. Do you know every person came back? See, why do I tell you that? I'm telling you what, it was a revolution. It was a paradigm shift for me. See, I love you guys. Yeah, I'm setting you up, okay? I'm about to say something tough. That's why I want you to know it's not out of a irritation or a demeaning thing that I say this. So I want you to know I'm saying this because I love you. The problem isn't the problem. You were the problem. I told you that was... Did I tell you? George, did I say I love them before I said that? Right? Okay. Listen, I really... And I am the problem, because here's what we think. And listen, understand, please get this first point. Until you get rid of your victim mentality, you will continue to be tripped up. And you'll look at your list and you'll say, oh, it was my fault. I would have, except for, you can either become a victim or become a victor. But you cannot be both. And if you will make a resolution, if you will really resolve that, you know what, even if situations seem like they're getting in your way to do what you said to do. Amen. Amen. You know, let me give you some, for instance, just if you would just, you know, some of you want to lose weight. You know what would be a good help to lose weight? Walking. Thank you, brother. Yes. But you know what would be good to lose weight? You know what? Here's what would be good. Read a book of somebody who knows a lot about losing weight. I read a book on losing weight, and you know what? It was very helpful, because you know what? He had a list. In this book, he had a list of 10 things that stop you from losing weight. See, you don't have to figure everything out, but you have to make a decision that you are not going to allow things to affect you, to not do it. This is making sense? In that list, you know what was part of the list? Watch this. You know what was part of the list? When you go in a grocery store and they have Oreos, but they have a blowout Oreo sale. And you know what? Normally they're $3.99, but they're doing it 10 for 10. I mean, you know, things of a whole pack of Oreos, 10 for 10. And what are you doing, Pastor Drew? I tell you what, I'm buying 10 of those, man. Why? Because I ain't gonna miss out on this deal. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And if you're selling two Ben and Jerry's, two for $5, I mean, I'm all over that. I'm all over that. What's my point? My point is just simply, and I'm not trying to get you to lose weight. I'm trying to get you to understand that you can do what you want to do. But you can't do what you want to do if you're going to continue to hang on to a victim mentality. It's just not, you're not going to do it. You're like the monkey who's able to, to, you know what, so they get a jar, they put something where the monkey will put his hand in the jar, they put a peanut there or something where the monkey will, and they've connected the jar to something that he can't get away, and they catch the monkey. How do they do that? Because the monkey puts his hand in the jar and he grabs the peanut and he won't let go of the peanut. So even though those people are coming to get him and he knows it, he just won't, he can't let go. He won't let go. Listen, I'm spending a little bit more time on this than I thought I was going to, but please understand, this is an important first step, because if you don't let go of your victim mentality, you know what? You'll have the peanut. You'll have the excuse, but you'll never change. Because you'll have all the excuses in the world, and all the excuses in the world will make sense to you. They're justifying you not changing. And can I tell you what? You're not justified. That's just, remember I said, that's just a lazy way for you to, you know what? Something has to change. So you've got to get, number one, you've got to get rid of that victim mentality. A couple of scriptures, Romans chapter 8, and they're all throughout the Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You're not a victim. You're victor. You're a victory. You're a victory. You are a victory going to happen. Amen? You're a victor. Okay, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all things. And may I suggest this to you? Don't just, you know what? Pray a little bit before you write out your list of resolutions this year. That's a side note, but that's an important note that we'll pick up in a minute. Number one, you must get rid of a victim mentality. Number two, you must recognize that there are 365 days in a year. 365 days in a year. Remember when I was, you know what, maybe some of you have experienced this, you're trying to lose some weight, and you know what, and you work out, and you're like, you know what? And what do you think? What do you think? You think after that, you know what? You know, and you're thinking, man, I worked out for 45 minutes. Whoa! You know, man. And you look, and it's like, oh, 12 minutes. Okay, but that's okay. Amen. No, really, that's okay, because that was 12 minutes more than you worked out last month. Amen. See, don't beat yourself up. Recognize there, you're moving forward. Amen. 12 minutes is 12 minutes. But what do you think? You come in, you think you're going to be Mr. Atlas? You know what I mean? You think, oh, you know, now I'm going to fit in those skinny jeans. You ain't going to fit in those skinny jeans. Amen. Sometimes my wife likes to, I don't know why she does this, but we'll go shopping and she'll have me put clothes on. Here, try this. And I know it's like, and don't get me wrong, my wife picks some wonderful clothes out. But sometimes I don't know what it is. I think she's just messing with me. You know what I mean? So here's what I do. I mess with her. Amen. I do. I mess with her. I put this stuff on. Amen. And then I come out. You know what I mean? I said, honey, how's this look? And it just looks so ridiculous, amen? Well, how about, you know, you're not going to work out for 10 minutes, 12 minutes, and be able to put on those skinny jeans. Understand, there's 365 days in the year. See, you'll be amazed if you just work out for 12, and please, I don't mean to just, you know, because it seems like I'm gravitating to lose weight. I'm not mean to do that. Whatever it is, but since we're talking about this, maybe if you just worked out for that 12 minutes, and then the next day worked out for 12 minutes, and then the next day worked out for 12 minutes, and then the next day worked out for 12 minutes, and then maybe if you just did some simple things, maybe if you just stopped drinking soda, Or maybe if you made a decision, I'm just going to drink one soda a year. Amen? Yeah. Oh, I couldn't. Okay, fine. Maybe do one soda a week. Amen? Oh, that's too much. Well, listen, maybe you're drinking three sodas a day. If you went from three sodas a day to one soda a week, how many know that would be a huge improvement? See, why do you think, we get this, and it's part of that, kind of that victim mentality. You know, you go back after eating junk for years and years and years and years, and you work out 15 minutes, you know what? And then you put some wheatgrass in a blender, and you think you're going to come out there and look like you did when you were, 17? Really? No. Listen. But, what if you recognized there are 365 days in a year, and you just started doing this incrementally? Listen, and here's a thought, and then get around people that are encouraging.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Amen. You know what? Do I need to sing it? You know? Sometimes I will sing that song by Chaka Khan. See, you're thinking, what's he going to sing? What's he going to come up with? Remember that song? Tell me something good. Never? Amen. You know what? Hey, I like to be around. Tell me something good. Amen. Yeah, okay. Maybe I don't look like, Atlas. But tell me something good. Tell me at least, that 12 minutes, at least I'm making a difference. Let me tell you something good. You are making a difference. Recognize, you don't have to do it all. See, that is that microwave mentality that defeats us. You know what? You're, oh, man, I've been eating good for a whole 3 days, and I still don't look good. Well, listen, you stick to it. You stick to it. You just do it. Recognize, you got this. Don't have a victim. Don't think you can't do it. You can do this. But understand, you know what? I remember when I was trying to get in shape, and I was thinking, man, well, hey, I didn't get out of shape in 30 days. Why do I think I'm going to be in shape in 30 days? That doesn't make sense. Although, you'll be surprised how quickly that you can get in shape. It's surprising. Number three, are you learning something? Number three, let me give you the scripture on number two. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. When?
Daily.
Oh, Pastor, I want to have a deeper relationship with God. That is a great resolution. Then make a decision. How in the world am I supposed to have a good relationship with my wife, and I only talk to her once a week? It's not going to happen. You've got to make a decision to whatever that resolution is. If you are resolved to it, make a decision, you're going to work a little bit at it every day. How many know in 365 days? How many know that is a lot of days to change your situation? Do you see hope come back into your think about it. If you have 365 days to work on that, how many know? Now you look at it and go, oh my goodness, you know what? I'm going to already whip this thing into shape in 35 days. Is this making sense? But you've got to do it daily. Number three, you must recognize, number three, God is the blesser. Now, this is really important because many of you are going to, you're gonna go home and you're gonna say, Pastor said, write it down. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to clean my garage. You know what? I'm going to whatever. You know what I mean? I'm going to buy some nicer clothes, you know what I mean? I'm start to, you know what, I'm going to start to, whatever you come up with. And if I see you in a year, and if you have nicer clothes on, and you've lost weight, and all those things have happened, but you got deceived. Here's why. Because you thought that that was going to bless you. Is this making sense? See, most people's lists are completely void of understanding that God is the blesser. Your list should make, your list should be more in correlation to understanding God is the blesser. How would that look? It's going to change. So you're thinking, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to resolve to be kinder to my wife. I'm going to resolve to be less angry. I'm going to resolve to not only bring in a tithe, but I want to give more than I did last year. I'm going to resolve to read my chapter a day. Do you understand the difference? See, now I understand. See, many people, even in the church, their list are the wrong. Their list, they make up their list, and they're completely void of understanding God is the blesser. So even, watch this, even if you achieved all those things, you still wouldn't be blessed. You might be skinnier, you might have taken an art class, but you won't feel any more fulfilled. Number three, and it's a huge thing, you've got to understand that God is the blesser. Amen. See, and again, I'm not against anybody losing weight or getting in shape. But you know what? What if you resolved to, instead of working out, you know, like that thing, you know, being on the treadmill for 30 minutes, what if you made a resolve to be on your knees in prayer for 30 minutes? Oh. See, and you think that no, I'd be better if I lost 20 pounds. No, you'd be better if you had a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. See, you're deceived. You think losing 20 pounds is going to be a blessing. Well, I'm not against that. I'm just saying your whole list is wrong because you don't recognize, and you probably won't fulfill the list anyway. How many know God is? How many know the Holy Spirit is the helper? Amen. How many know the Holy Spirit can help you lose that weight? Amen. Are you learning something today? You know what? James chapter 1, verse 17. You know this verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of turning. Every good gift. You've got to recognize God is the blesser. And if you recognize that, your list will look different. And I'm not saying you might not have on your list. You mean? God's not against you losing 20 pounds. God's not against you being on a treadmill. God just says, you know what, that things shouldn't get in front of me. And you can obtain all those things. And you'll be in the same misery that you're in today. Having all those lists done. I don't understand. I do. You forgot one important point. You've got to recognize God is the one who will bless your life. Amen. Number four. You must recognize you have the ball. You have the ball. Amen. The quarterback handed it off to you. You have the ball. You are empowered. People, oh, if it's back to that victim mentality. If this just, you know, there's like, I'm not empowered to do everything. The victim mentality takes all the power out of you and says, it's not my fault, it's everybody else's fault. And now you have no power. Take it back. Amen. You do have the power. You have the ball. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life. Do you have a tongue?
Yes.
Somebody say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Then the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. See, you have the power you need. Peter says, you have been given, listen to this, you have been given, who? You. You have been given everything you need for life and godliness. And we're saying, if all this stuff, if I was just, you know, if I was just out of debt, you know what I mean? If I just wasn't, you know, whatever we come up with. No, understand, you have the power. You've been given everything you need for life and godliness. Jesus says this. Look at what Jesus says. Mark 16, verses 19. So then, when the Lord had spoken to them, he's talking to his apostles, or actually disciples, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand, and Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. Oh, Jesus would just do something for me. He already has done everything for you. He said, it's finished. He went to the cross. He was victorious over sin and death for you, and then he sent you the Holy Spirit. And then they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord with them, and the Lord working with them. See, God promised to never leave you or forsake you. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Jesus isn't even there anymore. And what are they doing? They are changing the world. Here's why. Because they recognized we have the ball. No, if stop it. Victim mentality. You have the ball. You can change your life. You can be sweeter to your wife. You can be kinder to your husband. You can start to mend broken relationships with your family members, with your kids, with your grandkids. You know what? You can lose some weight. You can pray more. You can get on fire for Christ. You can do what you want to do. But you can't do it if you think you don't have the ball. You have the ball. And you got to recognize you have the ball. And last but not least, you must recognize today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to start. How many days you have left in this year? How many days are in a year? There are 365. You know, I'll start tomorrow. Okay, well, now you only have 364. And how many know the same mentality? Watch this, all eyes up here. How many know the same mentality that you say, I'm going to start tomorrow, now you only have how many? 364. How many know that same mentality says what? I'm going to start in 2 days. And you won't say in 2 days, but tomorrow you'll say, I'm going to start tomorrow. And now how many days you got left? You got your 363. And then that mentality says, well, you know what, because wait, let me tell you what. You know what? I mean, are you kidding me? You know what? Ding dongs are on sale. As soon as I get rid of the, you know, because I got to finish these ding dongs. Lord knows I got to finish these ding dongs. And it's a constant, you know what I mean? A constant. Oh, well, you know, I can't pray because I got up late and I was up late and it was a kids. And I mean, just excuse that. No. And now you have 1 day less. How many know? Do you remember what's my point? Remember my point too? You do only have 365 days in this year. So what you have to recognize is today is the day. You want to pray? Pray today. Amen. I'm going to pray. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray 15 minutes every day. Don't start tomorrow. Start today. Yeah. Amen. 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 I'm one soda a week. One soda a week. I'm going to start it. I'm going to drink that soda today. No, don't drink it today. Amen. Drink it on Saturday. Amen. Celebrate on Saturday. Amen. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Today is it. You know what salvation means? Wholeness. Today. Guys, please listen to me. You got this. You can do this. But you got to start today. You know, it's funny because I work with a lot of young people. And one of the things that I see in young people, and it's not just young people, it's older people too, but we're so anxious. We want everything so now. And so they're like, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know what I'm called to do. You know what I tell them? I tell them, listen. All you're called to do, I'll ask them, are you called to hope? Oh, yes, I'm called to hope. They know that. I'm called to this church. Praise God. Amen. Are you called to serve? Yes, I'm called to serve. Amen. You want to know what you're going to do with your life? Get a broom and get a mop and clean that floor, please. And they're cleaning the floor and they're thinking, this is what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to mop a floor for all my... No. That's not what you're supposed to do. What you're supposed to do is be obedient to what God has called you to do today. Amen. And watch this. And here's what happened in my life. I didn't know what I was called to do. I mean, when I was 17, I felt, you know what? Or when I was 21, I think, you know what? I was surfing with Bill Bear. You've heard this story. We got done surfing. We're just sitting there watching the waves. You know, it's early in the morning. There's nobody on the beach. And he starts asking me these questions about the Lord. And I'm thinking, my dad was a pastor. I'm thinking, man, I didn't listen to anything he ever said. No, really, that's what I thought. I never listened to anything he said. I wasn't paying attention. I was, you know, under the pews and screwing around with my sisters and not paying attention to anything. And all of a sudden, I started preaching. All of a sudden, these words of life are flowing out of my mouth. And I'm like, wow. Now this is gonna sound awful. I was like, unbelievable. That is good. That's good. That's good. And I had a glimpse of what I was called to do. But I didn't really get it. I mean I got it, but I just didn't see myself in that picture. You know what? Stop defining who you are. Let God define who you are. And so years later, when I was wrestling, still knew that I was just not on track. And I talked to my pastor. You know what? And Pastor Bill said, Drew, why didn't you take just a correspondence course at Life Bible College? And I took that course. And after, it took me a whole year. Imagine this. A whole year to get through a three credit course. It took me a whole year. And I got through, and then I recognized, man, I need to go to Life Bible College. So I'm a freshman there, and I'm thinking, man, all these other kids are anointed, but I ain't anointed. I'm a goofball, you know what I mean? No, really, that's what I thought. I'm a goofball, you know what I mean? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not, you know what I mean? I love God, but you know what? I've got my one foot in, one foot out. You know what? What am I doing here? You know what I mean? And I'll never forget, I was a sophomore. And I was given a class of about 30, only 10 students were given this assignment to talk about Hosea. They each had an Old Testament prophet to talk about, and I was given the assignment to talk about Hosea. And I remember standing up in that class, and I remember just talking about Hosea. And when I was talking about Hosea, that same gush just came out of me. And I saw these kids, and they were like receiving revelation. And I was the exact same feeling as I was on the beach. And I was a sophomore, still hadn't taken one preaching class. And I knew. How did that happen? It happened in just, how did it happen? It happened in just doing what God told me to do to, you know what, to go to Bill's church, little Four Square church, and then start to serve in that church. And then just be obedient to start to, you know what, to lead worship in that church. I didn't think see myself is doing any of this. I was just living my life. See, listen, obedience, if all you will be is just obedient to what God has called you to do today, today is a day of wholeness for you. And if you start putting one day upon another day upon another day upon another day, in a short period of time, you're going to look back and go, oh my goodness. You know what you're going to do? You're going to see the path. You're going to go, oh my goodness. See, you don't know where you're going because it's so incremental. It's so small. But if you just follow the path, if you just pick up the breadcrumb, if you just do, that's how I got delivered from lust. I mean, I was so convinced I'll never get out of this. And then the Holy Spirit started saying, no, you stop thinking that way. You can get out. Just follow the breadcrumb. Just do this. And I do that. And then I do this, and I do that, and I do this. If you would start understand, today is the day for you to get whole. And just do what he asks you to do, and then do what he asks you to do. And watch this. Let me illustrate. You're over here. You don't know where to go. I don't know where to go. I don't know where God's plan is for me. Okay, well, can you do something today? Can you be kind to your wife today? Can you serve today? Do that. Can you do that again tomorrow? Can you buy her a box of See's candy? Can you? Can you not yell at your kids so much? Can you pray a little bit? Can you get up and pray? Not sleep so much? And see, you start doing this, and you're just doing this just a little bit of time. A little bit of time. Can you start to give? Can you be generous instead of selfish? Hello? And you all of a sudden look, and you turn around, and you go, oh my goodness. Ah! Right? Oh! All of a sudden it's revelation. Oh! I never forget, I was lying in bed, had been pastor at this church for about 3 months, and I was like, oh! What was the oh? I said, Tamara, this is what I'm called to do. How'd you get there? Well, see, back here, you know what? Pastor Bradford, through Pastor Nolan, asked me to get up in the morning and blow off. Over here, you know what? Something else happened to me. Over here, something else happened to me. Now I'm here, and then I can turn around and see it. You'll see it too. But you've got to understand, you know what? It starts today. Not tomorrow. It starts today. Today is your day to become whole. And you think because, you know what, you don't eat like 8 bags of chips today, you know what, that it, because everything's, no. It just starts today. But how many know if it starts today, you got 365 days. Is somebody encouraged today? Will somebody, I'm just asking, will somebody raise their hand and say, Pastor, listen to me. I'm getting rid of the woe is me mentality. I'm getting rid of the victim mentality. I'm going to recognize I don't have to do everything overnight. But I am going to commit to recognize God is the blesser, and I need to recognize he's the blesser. And I'm going to recognize I'm going to start today. If that's somebody, raise your hand. In any of those things, raise your hand. Father, you see the hands up. Listen to me prophetically. This is not a message that was a cutesy message because it's the first of the year. This message was a message from God to speak to you. And Father, I thank you that you sent the helper to help us. Okay, now put your hands down. I got one more thing to say. When I was doing this message at the very end, the Holy Spirit said, remind them two more things real quick. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let me give the background of it. The Israel had been in bondage for 70 years, in captive for 70 years. They're out. The wall is built. The wall of protection is built. Hallelujah. But they're still miserable. And the prophet says, remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, you're not a slave anymore. You're free. So you might not be as skinny as you want. You might not be as spiritual as you want. But today is your start. So remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're not a slave anymore. Amen. Number one. And number two, remember this. If you draw close to God, he'll draw close to you. All you have to do is just draw close to God. And you'll see things that you're dreaming. You'll see them come forth. Sweetie.
I no more than opened my eyes this morning, and the Holy Spirit said to me, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then he said, what is the joy of the Lord? And so I said to Pastor, I said, you know that scripture, the joy of the Lord is your strength? And he goes, oh, that's in my notes today. And I said, yeah. So what is the joy of the Lord? And he, let me give you, listen, if the joy of the Lord is our strength, then we really need to understand what the joy of the Lord is, don't we? To get the strength. Because if we don't understand what the joy is, then how do we get the strength? And let me read it to you in a real simple definition. It's a gladness of heart that comes from knowing Christ. A gladness of heart that comes from knowing Christ. I want to give you one more scripture. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's in Nehemiah 8:10. But in James chapter 4, verse 7, this is what James says to us. Matter of fact, he commands us. He says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. It's interesting because then I was in the bathroom a little later on getting ready, and the Lord just quickened in my spirit the word entitlement. The word entitlement. Now let me give you a definition for that as we're going to piece together here what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today, okay? Because it's really good. Entitlement, the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. The belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. The fact of having a right to something. That scripture in James, it's funny because we all kind of know that scripture. If you've been in the church for a while, you know that scripture. And yet knowing it and actually walking it out is two different things. See, the fleeing of the enemy is conditional on, see, we're commanded to do something, and then we're told, and then he will flee. Will. I mean, it's not like it's, I hope he does. You know what I mean? It might be okay at that point. No, it's guaranteed. Well, how do we get the guarantee? We get the guarantee by submitting ourselves to God. We have to submit ourselves to God to get that guarantee. So anything that we're struggling with in our life, we've got to turn around and ask ourselves, well, wait a minute. Am I submitting myself to God? Let's break it down into areas. We do good when we break things down. You know what? Am I submitting to God? If I'm having trouble in my finances, am I submitting to God in my finances? If I'm having trouble in my sexuality, am I submitting my sexuality to God? Am I submitting myself to God? If I'm having trouble in my relationships, am I submitting myself to God's ways, what He's telling me? Because when we submit to God, we're guaranteed that the enemy will flee. So if we have struggle going on, you know what I mean? Let's just double check. You know what? That we got our part done. Because, listen, Satan is the lawless one. We're told, you know what, having done all to stand, what are we supposed to do? Stand. We're told not to waver. See, we know. You know what submission really is? Submission is that we trust God. If we're going to submit ourselves to Him, we totally trust Him. God's ways are so different. The Lord later on, did I say He told me about entitlement? I'm like, what is that? And He began to just minister to me some of the behavior that I've seen in the church for years. You know, many times people will leave churches. Not a particular church. They leave God. And you know why they leave? You know what probably the number one reason why people leave the body of Christ? Leave their relationship with God? Because they're disappointed. Because something didn't go the way that they thought that it should go. What did entitlement mean? Entitlement was the deserving if we'll get honest with ourselves, we feel an entitlement to things from God. Does God owe any of us anything? I'm just asking. Because see, when we feel entitled to something, what we're really saying is, God, you owe me. Now, we would never, we would never say that, would we? But do we say it when we live that way? What's more, what I say or what I do? Can I give God a bunch of lip service, but with my actions, I have this completely different belief and mindset, obviously. We need to submit ourselves to God. That relationship with Him is everything to us. The problem, the biggest problem with entitlement is it's a me mentality. You know what the problem with a victim mentality is? It's a me mentality. If we feel an entitlement, we end up very focused on ourselves. A victim ends up very focused on themselves. If we understand that we have much, if we have the joy of the Lord is our strength, a gladness of heart that I have a relationship with Him, that is where it's all at, is in that relationship. And if we keep that gladness of heart and we work, the one resolve that we should all have is that we have a greater relationship with Him. And what do we do to resolve that? And it's a very important point, the breadcrumb thing, because it's almost like God knows, I mean, He knows how we are. You know, God, a lot of times, he won't give us the whole plan. You know what I mean? You know why? If we knew the whole plan, we'd go, and we'd have a lot to say about it, wouldn't we? We'd figure it all out, wouldn't we? But he gives us daily bread. Remember when they used to, remember if they took any more of the manna than that was given to them? Because they were told not to do that. But they did it anyway. Shocker. Right? And when they did it, what happened to the manna? It turned into maggots. See, we want to do the whole, where am I going? I don't know about you, but my experience with God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's just one step in front of the other, just one thing, just one thing, just one thing, just today, Tamara, just today, just today, just today. And it's exactly like that. If you'll just start submitting yourself to God and just do this day and then submit yourself and do that day and then submit yourself and do this day and then submit yourself and do that day, if you'll do that, you so have this moment where you turn around and go, whoa, now I see what was going on. But we've got to trust him to pick up those breadcrumbs and take just that one step when we don't know the whole deal. It amazes me. Years and years ago, I don't know, for whatever reason, I just decided that we were drinking way too much soda and that we were going to not drink so much soda. And so I look back now, I never set out to like become super healthy or anything. But it blows my mind how just the one step of, okay, we drink way too much soda and it's really bad for us, we're going to stop doing that. And then that led to, you know what, drinking water is a lot healthier. We really need to drink more water. And then that led to, and then that led to, and that led to, and that led to, and now it's like, wow, we live completely different in our lifestyle than what we used to. And that's a good thing. But it was never a whole plan. We never said, oh, we're going to do this and that and that. We just did one thing at a time. And that's kind of how God does us. There's probably a lot of wisdom in that. Amen? Amen. Amen.